නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය. So reading today from the 6th chapter. Chapter entitled Dhyana Yoga. Text number 40 to 42. So we'll read text number 40 now together.
భగవానువాచ పార్థనైవేహ నాముత్ర వినాశస్తస్య విద్యతే నాహి కళ్యాణకృత్ కశ్చిత్ దుర్గతిం తాత కచ్చతి.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Son of Pritha, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. Purport. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17, Sri Narad Muni instructs Vyasadev as follows.
Tvaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam hare bhajan apakota pate tato yadi yatra kvatvabhatram abudmat amushyakim kovartha apto bhajatam swadharmataha.
If someone gives up all material prospects and takes complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no loss or degradation in any way. On the other hand, a non-devotee may fully engage in his occupational duties and yet not gain anything. For material prospects, there are many activities, both scriptural and customary. A transcendentalist is supposed to give up all material activities for the sake of spiritual advancement in life, Krishna consciousness. One may argue that by Krishna consciousness, one may attain the highest perfection if it is completed. But if one does not attain such a perfectional stage, then he loses both materially and spiritually. It's enjoined in the scriptures that one has to suffer the reaction for not executing prescribed duties. Therefore, one who fails to discharge transcendental activities properly becomes subjected to these reactions. The Bhagavatam assures the unsuccessful transcendentalists that there need be no worries. Even though he may be subjected to the reaction for not perfectly executing prescribed duties, he is still not a loser. Because auspicious Krishna consciousness is never forgotten, and one so engaged will continue to be so even if he is low born in the next life. On the other hand, one who simply follows strictly the prescribed duties need not necessarily attain auspicious results if he is lacking in Krishna consciousness. The purport may be understood as follows. Humanity may be divided into two sections, namely the regulated and the non-regulated. Those who are engaged simply in bestial sense gratification without knowledge of their next life or spiritual salvation belong to the non-regulated species. And those who follow the principles of prescribed duties in the scriptures are classified among the regulated section. The non-regulated section, both civilized and non-civilized, educated and non-educated, strong and weak, are full of animal propensities. Their activities are never auspicious because while enjoying the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, they perpetually remain in material existence, which is always miserable. On the other hand, those who are regulated by scriptural injunction and who thus rise gradually to Krishna consciousness certainly progress in life. Those who are following the path of auspiciousness can again be divided into three sections, namely, the followers of scriptural rules and regulations who are enjoying material prosperity. Second, those who are trying to find ultimate liberation from material existence. And third, those who are devotees in Krishna consciousness. those who are following the rules and regulations of the scriptures for material happiness may be further divided into two classes. Those who are fruitive workers and those who desire no fruit for sense gratification. Those who are after fruitive results for sense gratification may be elevated to a higher standard of life, even to the higher planets. But still, because they are not free from material existence, they are not following the truly auspicious path. The only auspicious activities are those which lead one to liberation. Any activity which is not aimed at ultimate self-realization or liberation from the material bodily concept of life is not at all auspicious. Activity in Krishna consciousness is the only auspicious activity, and anyone who voluntarily accepts all bodily discomforts for the sake of making progress on the path of Krishna consciousness can be called a perfect transcendentalist under severe austerity. And because the eightfold yoga system is directed toward the ultimate realization of Krishna consciousness, such practice is also auspicious, and no one who is trying his best in this matter need fear degradation. So I welcome all the assembled devotees here to this Sunday discussion on the Bhagavad Gita. So just to recap what we have been going through in the last few days on the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled as Dhyana Yoga, Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna the whole philosophy of Sankhya Yoga, or how to control the mind and senses through the process of austerities. So Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that one should go into the forest, sit on kusa grass, meditate on the tip of the nose, and perform austerities. And here Arjuna tells Krishna that, my dear Lord Krishna, what you are saying is very nice, but because my mind is so restless, it's impossible for me to follow this. And Lord Krishna says, yes, I agree with you, my dear Arjuna. But one who practices with detachment, he can certainly follow. And one day he can aspire to come to the platform of being able to control his mind and senses. And in this connection, Arjuna asks a very relevant question to Lord Krishna. We'll just read that. So Arjuna says, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? O mighty armed Krishna, does not such a man who is bewildered from the path of transcendence fall away from both spiritual and material success and perish like a riven cloud with no position in any sphere? This is my doubt, O Krishna, and I ask you to dispel it completely. But for you, no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt. So these three shlokas are very important to understand the background for the statements that Lord Krishna is making in this text 41 and 42. So the question that Arjuna asks is relevant to all of us, because the doubt always comes into our mind when we come to this practice, or when we come to this path of Krishna consciousness. Whatever we are doing, is it permanent? Suppose we do not have success either in our material life, because in order to come into Krishna consciousness, we have to forsake our material life. So on one hand, we do not have any success in our material life, and on the other hand, because I do not practice this process sincerely, I fall down from the process of Krishna consciousness. So both sides I am losing. So what happens to a person like this? So such doubts assail us on the path of devotional service, because sometimes we get confused, particularly when difficulties come into our lives. And difficulties are bound to come into our lives. Because this material world is a place of misery. It is dukkalayam ashashvatam. Right. So in a place which is miserable, where the Lord certifies that this material world is a place of miserable, how can we ever be happy? But still, because we are in the conditioned state, because we are completely attached to the material conception of life, we are thinking that we will try and get happiness in this material world. In the second chapter, Lord says, Matras Parshastu Kaunteya Sitosna Sukha Dukkada Agamam Payino Nitya Stam Titikshasva Bharata. So the Lord says that happiness and distress will come to us just like the summer and the winter season. So just like how we have every year, we have the summer season where it becomes very hot and we require the air conditioners. And after that, we have the rainy season and then followed by the winter season where we need heaters in some places where it is really cold. So similarly, happiness and distress comes into our lives. So this is the law of nature. So to the extent that we are happy or we are comfortable in this material world, we have to understand that sooner or later, we are going to be miserable. Right? So this is the law of nature. And anybody who thinks that I am going to be enjoying happiness in this material world permanently is considered to be in illusion. Right? He's said to be in illusion. Because he doesn't have any understanding. Of course, for some time in our whole life, there are situations when we have absence of distress. When we are not unhappy. And when we are not unhappy, we think we are happy. So absence of unhappiness does not make it happiness. It is just absence of unhappiness. It's just that for that particular period of our life, maybe 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, there is no unhappiness in our life. Right? So we think, oh, because there is no unhappiness, I am actually happy. But since the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita that this is a place of misery, this is dukkalayam ashashvatam, we have to understand that when we are so-called in this situation of lack of unhappiness, we should be very much concerned. Because sooner or later, that lack of unhappiness is going to become unhappiness. Right? So this is something that is preordained. When a person takes birth in this material world, he has to suffer. Right? Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. In this material world, we see these four causes of misery: birth, old age, disease, and death. Right? So these are the four causes of misery, and no living entity can ever escape these four causes of unhappiness. Right? Birth, people consider your birthday to be a day of celebration. But actually, if the baby was asked to explain, because the baby is not in a position to explain, he can't speak. Right? Jai Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. So if a baby had this ability to speak, and he was asked, what was your experience when you came out of your mother's womb? The baby will definitely tell you that it was miserable. Right? Because the scriptures tell us that at the time when the baby is forcibly ejected out of the mother's womb, that baby is in so much trauma. The baby is so much unhappy. It is in so much distress. So birth also is a very, very unhappy situation. Right? And later on, as the baby grows up, it becomes an adult. Then there are situations when it is diseased and then it becomes old and then it dies. Right? So disease is, of course, we need not explain. Disease is a very unwelcome situation. Nobody wants to be diseased. Right? And what to talk about old age. Right? Old age is a situation where practically our body starts becoming very unusable. We go through a lot of difficulties. All our limbs, they start giving us so much of pain. Getting up in the morning is so difficult. Right? If we do some heavy exercise, then our body starts aching. So that is the symptoms of old age. And finally, death. Now, which in the scriptures is said to be like being bitten by 40,000 scorpions, is also a very, very painful experience. So this entire cycle of birth, old age, disease and death is a very unhappy situation for the living entity. And yet the living entity in this material world tries to enjoy to the best of his capacity. He thinks that the goal of life in this human form of life is to enjoy. I have been given this human body and I have to use whatever facilities have been given to enjoy my senses. So this is the misconception that the living entity gets into. And the scriptures, the purpose of the scriptures is to explain to us that somehow or the other we have to get out of this misconception. And for those people who come into this path of Krishna consciousness, who come into God consciousness, who are understanding, like all you devotees who are sitting over here, when we read the Bhagavad Gita, when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we get an understanding as to what is the goal of this human form of life. The goal of this human form of life is not just sense gratification, but it is a vehicle for us to prepare going home back to Godhead. Right? It is a vehicle for us to prepare for our life after death. Right? So this is the goal of this human form of life. So sometimes when a person comes into God consciousness or Krishna consciousness and he encounters difficulties in his life, then at such times he gives up the practice. The process of chanting the holy names or associating with devotees or reading the scriptures, he gives up this practice. Because he thinks to himself that although I am following the process of Krishna consciousness, still why am I being put into so much of difficulty? Right? So he becomes bewildered and he gives up the path of God consciousness. So here Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna, that what happens to such a person? On the one hand, he has given up everything. He has given up his material life and taken up to the process of Krishna consciousness. And on the other hand, when he comes into Krishna consciousness, he falls away. He falls down. He gives up practicing the process of Krishna consciousness. So what happens to such a person? So that is the question that Arjuna asks Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna replies that such a person, for such a person, nothing is lost. For a person who comes into Krishna consciousness, he has everything to gain. This is unlike a person who has achieved tremendous success in his material life in terms of wealth, prestige, name, fame, right? Position in society. He might have achieved all this. But ultimately what happens at the time of death or before death, whatever he has achieved gets taken away. Right? If it is not taken away before his death, definitely at the time of death it is taken away. So death is the final issue that closes one's chapter of his material life once and for all. It is that situation where a person has to leave behind everything, whatever he has achieved. But the beauty of Krishna consciousness, as Lord Krishna explains in this verse, as also in another verse, in the second chapter, Lord Krishna says, Neha bikromanasosti pratyavayo na vidyate. Svalpam apyasa dharmasya trayato mahato bayat. That in this path of Krishna consciousness, there is no diminution in value. Even if a person makes 1% advancement in Krishna consciousness, that advancement is to be considered to be permanent. So that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Even if a person has done a small thing, what to talk about practicing Krishna consciousness every day, like chanting the holy names every day. Even if a person has chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra even once, then as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, such a person is to be considered as the topmost devotee of Lord Krishna. Right? So it's a very great benediction that is given to us. Just by chanting the holy name even once. What to talk about chanting the holy names continuously. Even if by chanting the holy name once, the benefit that comes to us is immeasurable. It is much, much more valuable than all the millions and millions and millions of dollars that we would be earning in our lifetime. Because what can these millions of dollars do? At the most, it will make our life a little bit comfortable. Correct? That's all it can do. It can give us some material comforts by which we can make our life comfortable. But ultimately what? If you are faced with old age, even if you are the wealthiest man in the world, when we encounter old age, and most people, they become wealthy only when they are old. Somehow this is the law of nature. How material nature wants to trick us and make us even more frustrated. First of all, we are frustrated when we are young because we don't have money. And when we have money, we have become too old to enjoy it. Right? Because by the time we have money, we become so old that we are having all sorts of problems in our body. We can't even eat proper food. Sometimes we are eating more medicines than food. Right? So many tablets we have to take just to keep our body going. Right? So you can imagine a situation where a person has everything but is not able to enjoy. This is worse than a situation where a person has nothing. Right? Because if a person has nothing, then he has got no regrets. I can't enjoy. But a person has everything and yet he can't enjoy. Right? So it's an even more frustrating situation. And the Lord puts us in such a situation at the time when we become old. So even though we might be having a huge amount of wealth, for that limited period during our lifetime of 80, 70, 80, 90, at the most 100 years, we are in a position to enjoy it. After that, what happens? We have to leave it behind. Although we have earned this wealth with so much of trouble, so much of hard work, so much of saving, so much of endeavoring and putting aside everything that we are earning for tomorrow. Who enjoys it? Our sons, our grandsons, they are the people who enjoy it. Right? So who is ultimately the fool? The person who has struggled his whole life trying to earn a fortune which is ultimately enjoyed by his children. But this is not the case of our spiritual life. In the case of our spiritual life, whatever credit we earn gets carried forward into our next life. So if we have chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra once in this lifetime, we, according to the scriptures, we are guaranteed of a human birth in the next life. So this gives us an opportunity for us to carry on the process of Krishna consciousness into our next life. Right? So as Srila Prabhupada would explain, if we have completed 10% of our Krishna consciousness in this life, in the next life we start with 11%. And in the next life we are given an opportunity to further make purification in our life. And if we are able to achieve the supreme consciousness of being 100% perfect in our Krishna consciousness, then at the end of that life we will go home back to Godhead. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tattvataha. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti. So Arjuna, anybody who at the time of death has understood my pastimes and understood all the pastimes about my birth, such a person at the time of death will not have to take birth in this material world. So a person who has achieved 100% Krishna consciousness at the time of his death will not come back into this material world. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. Antakale cha. At the time of death, we just have to remember Krishna. And if in our whole life we have remembered Lord Krishna, then for sure at the time of death, Lord Krishna will ensure that we remember him. So that is the key to success. The key to success is to practice our whole life, is to regulate our whole life in such a way that throughout our life we remember Lord Krishna. Right from the time we wake in the morning till the time we go to sleep. We have to arrange our activities in such a way that we remember Krishna throughout the day. So Srila Prabhupada has made temples like this all over the world only to give us this facility whereby right from the morning, from the time we get up, at whatever time, we can come to the temple, we can chant the holy names, we can take darshan of their lordships. And throughout the day, we earn money in order to maintain our family, in order to give it to the temple. And then at night we go to sleep, meditating that next day morning we should wake up early so that we can come to the temple once again. So that's how we arrange our life in such a way that the whole day we spend in remembering Krishna. So that finally, at the time of death, we have to remember Krishna. There's no other way. Because whole life we have been remembering Krishna. So obviously at the time of death, we are going to be remembering Krishna. So it's a great benediction that Lord Krishna is giving over here. Lord Krishna is saying that for such a person, there is no destruction. A person who always remembers me never meets with destruction. Although his material body may die, it will die sooner or later. Right? Who can say that we are not going to die? Is there anybody in this room who can say that we are not going to die? Each and every one of us. We know for sure, whether we accept it or not. Right? We may not accept it. We may not think, oh, I'm going to die tomorrow. I'm going to die in a year's time. I'm going to die in 5 years' time. I'm going to die in 50 years' time. We don't want to think about it. But whether we want to think about it or not, the fact is a fact that we have to die sooner or later. Right? For some people it is sooner, for some people it is later. Right? And the worst thing about death is that we don't know when we are going to die. Right? Of course it is said that the day you are born, the day that you are going to die is already written. Yeah, but Krishna has arranged it in such a way that we don't know when we are going to die. Right? We could just die the next moment. Yeah, the ceiling fan could just fall on top of my head and finished. Right? So death is completely uncertain, although it is 100% sure. So uncertainty is only about when it is going to happen. Whether it is going to happen or not is absolutely beyond doubt. Right? So Lord Krishna says over here that for a person who is a transcendentalist, for him there is no destruction. There is automatic progression into the next life. And we see from the scriptures, there are so many examples of great devotees who just by performing a small amount of devotional service, they have achieved such a huge amount of benefit. Just to take one example, all of us know Narad Muni, Right? All of us here know about Narad Muni, right? Now, Narad Muni is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna or Vishnu. So, what does Narad Muni do? He goes around all over the universe praising Lord Vishnu. Right? All the time he is chanting the glories of Lord Vishnu. But what was Narad Muni in his previous birth? Does anybody know? Narad Muni in his previous birth was the insignificant son of a maid servant. Now, maid servants are not very significant people, right? How many of us consider maid servants to be significant? We have so many maid servants who work for us in our house. They don't have much significance. They are insignificant people, right? So Narad Muni was the son of such a maid servant, and she was insignificant, and he was even more insignificant. And he was just 5 years old. But it so happened that in the house where this Narad Muni's mother was serving, in that house some very great Bhakti Vedantas came. Means some very great devotees of the Lord. They came and then they spent 4 months in that house where Narad Muni's mother in the previous birth was working as a maid servant. Now, Narad Muni at that time was a very small boy, just 5 years of age. But because he was associating with this maid, with this Bhakti Vedantas or this great devotees of Lord Krishna, because he was associating with them, he became very attached to them. So this is the power of association. We are what we associate with. Like Srila Prabhupada would say, if you are a nice human being and we associate with drunkards, it's only a matter of time that we also become drunkards. Right? Or if we associate with gamblers, it's a matter of time that we become gamblers. Or if we are smokers, or if we associate with smokers, it's a matter of time that we also start smoking. Just like a child which goes to school, the mother always tells a child that associate only with those who are intelligent. Right? If we have, when our children used to go to school, what would we tell our children? When you are in school, just associate with those children who are studious, or those who are intelligent. Because we know that if we associate with such a child, he is also going to become intelligent, he is also going to become studious. So association is extremely important in the development of a person. So we are what we associate with. If we associate with negative energy, then we become negative. And if we associate with positive energy, we become positive. Right? So this whole process of Krishna consciousness works through the process of association. So why is it that we all come to the temple? So that when we are together, we all remember Krishna. Right? When we are sitting here, we don't remember about all the problems that are happening outside. We look at all the photographs that are over here. We look at the deity. We hear the kirtan. We chant the holy names. Right? This is what we do here in the temple. So all the activities that we do make us remember Krishna. So the whole purpose of having a temple is to give us a facility to associate with each other. So that is the reason why we should come to the temple of Lord Krishna every day. We don't charge you a fee to come to this temple. Right? Anybody and everybody who is interested in coming and paying obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is welcome over here. There is no distinction based upon caste, religion, color, sex. Anybody can come. In fact, everybody can come and take advantage of this facility that is being offered. So we have a beautiful temple where the Lord is being worshipped so wonderfully, so gorgeously. All of you had the darshan. So such a temple is created only so that we can associate with each other and remember Krishna. So that is the power of association. So if we want to become devotees of Lord Krishna, the most important activity that we have to do is to associate with devotees of Lord Krishna. Just like if we want to become a good student, what we have to do? We have to associate with those students who are good. So if you want to become a medical doctor, you have to go to a medical college. Right? You can't go to an engineering college to become a medical doctor. Correct? You have to go to a medical college. So similarly, if you want to become a devotee of Lord Krishna, you have to come to a temple of Lord Krishna. Right? In fact, there is no difference between this and a medical college. Just like one goes to the medical college in order to learn about the anatomy of the body, what are the various functions of the different parts of the body, how to do operation and how to cure. Similarly, one comes to the temple of God to learn about God. So this is like a university where a person goes in order to learn about who is God, how powerful God is, what is my relationship with God, right? Who am I? This knowledge cannot be secured in a medical college or an engineering college. It can only be secured in a temple of God. So Srila Prabhupada has made such wonderful facilities for all of us to come over here and understand the science of God. By associating with each other, by making nice friends. Because devotees of the Lord, they don't have any expectations from you. They only want to see that you become a nice devotee of Lord Krishna. Right? Whereas outside, when you go, people have so many expectations. Even your relatives, your near and dear ones, your friends, your boss in office, your neighbor, everybody has some expectation or the other from you in terms of how you can facilitate his sense gratification, how you can help him. And such an expectation is always selfish. Outside, everybody expects something from you in order to facilitate himself. What can I take from the other person? Whereas in the temple of God, we are not taught how to take, but we are taught how to give. How can I give something to somebody else? So in a situation where everybody is giving and nobody is taking, this is a situation of Vaikuntha. The spiritual world is exactly like this, where everybody gives, everybody wants to serve. Nobody wants to take service. Whereas outside in the material world, everybody wants to take service. How can you serve me? So everybody is connecting themselves to you only for the purpose of taking service from you. How can I approach this person so that I can get better service from him? So this is exploitation. The material world outside is there existing only for the purpose of exploiting us. It is what is called a dog eat dog world. Right? You have heard this statement? Dog eat dog world. What does it mean? It means that everybody is trying to exploit everybody else to the best of their ability. And that person who can exploit the best is considered to be the most successful. Right? The most successful industrialist is the one who can exploit the maximum. And such a person is respected. In the outside world, success is success in terms of how you can control material energy is respected. And the more you have facilities to control material energy, the higher the respect. But in the spiritual world, it's exactly the opposite. In the spiritual world, the more you serve, the more you are respected. Not taking service, not exploiting. The more you allow yourself to be exploited, the more you are respected. Right? And that's how it is in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, you go and you go to Golok Vrindavan where Lord Krishna is performing his pastime. You will see the Lord serving his devotees. Why should the Supreme Personality of Godhead serve his own devotees? Because he likes serving. He likes to serve. So we see, here we have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityanand Prabhu, who are none other than Krishna and Balaram. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself, come in this age of Kali Yuga. He just came 500 years back. And what was he doing? He was always serving his devotees. In fact, although he was a Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would do menial service to his devotees. Like washing their clothes, folding their clothes, cleaning their house for them, carrying water for them so that they could have bath. Can you imagine the Lord doing this for his devotees? So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, teaching us by his own example how important it is for us to serve others. Not to take service to ourselves, but to serve others. And by that we get happiness. True happiness comes not in exploiting, but in giving service. Just like a mother. Now a mother with a newborn baby, just a few days old, can the mother expect any service from the child? The child is helpless. The child can't give any service. But the mother is so happy serving the child. Right? She serves the child. She gets up in the middle of the night. If the child is crying and the child wants to be fed, then does the mother say that let the child cry, I'll go to sleep? No. The mother gets up, although she may not like it, still, because she loves the child so much, she's ready to serve the child under any circumstance. So the mother loves the child unconditionally. So this is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, loves his devotees. Unconditionally, no expectations. And similarly, the devotees also love the Lord unconditionally. No expectations. When we approach the Lord, we do not pray to the Lord for any material expectations. We do not tell the Lord, give me this, give me that. Because that is not proper service. If you are praying to the Lord to give you something, it means that you are asking the Lord to engage him in your service. Correct? Is that proper? That you go to the Lord and say, my dear Lord, you give me this, you give me that, you give me a nice house, you give me a nice wife, you give me a nice son, you give me a nice job. It's ridiculous. Because if you are going to ask the Lord to give you all these things, give me good health, give me good wealth, if you are going to be asking the Lord to give you all these things, it means that you are asking the Lord to engage himself in your service. But that's exploitation. Just now we understood that to engage somebody in your service means to exploit that person. Correct? So if you are going to the Lord and telling the Lord that please engage in my service, it means that you are telling the Lord that I'm going to exploit you. So a devotee doesn't do that. A devotee prays to the Lord that, my dear Lord, please tell me how I can serve you.
how I can engage in your service. Please engage myself. Please engage me in your service. This is what you pray to the Lord. And in fact, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that we chant every day is exactly that. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What is this prayer? The 16 word, 32 syllable Maha Mantra is a prayer to the Lord that, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. I am your servant. So please engage me in your service. So if we have such a consciousness, then we are Krishna conscious. Then we are considered to be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Then Lord Krishna accepts us as his devotees. And Lord Krishna says over here that for a person who becomes my devotee, there is no destruction. And then what happens? Further in the next two shlokas, Lord Krishna tells further, the unsuccessful yogi after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of pious living entities is born into a family of righteous persons or into a family of rich aristocracy. So this is very important. So a person who has not completed his process of Krishna consciousness, for some reason, if he falls down or whatever, such a person is transported to a planet where there are only pious people living. And after enjoying in that planet for several years, now that several years can be a very long time, because in the higher planetary systems, our day and their day, there is a difference. Their one day is equal to 6 months of us. And we are given a facility to enjoy hundreds and thousands of years in the higher planets. And then what happens? Lord Krishna says that such a person comes back into this material world, but he is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. So Lord Krishna gives us solutions for everything. So we wonder what is going to happen to me if I don't become a pure devotee by the time I die. No problem. Lord Krishna says you will be transported to a planet which is where you'll be able to enjoy life for several years. And then after that you will come back into this material world where you will get once again a facility to continue your Krishna consciousness. That means right from birth, you have the facility to come to the temple once again to become a devotee of Lord Krishna. So that is why you will see that when you come here on a typical day, there are so many children. And the children, they are not ordinary children, they are special children. Because they have been born to devotees of Lord Krishna. And these devotees of Lord Krishna were actually, in their previous lives, they were big yogis. Doing huge amount of tapasya. And because of their pious activities, they have now got birth as devotee children. And because they have got devotee, like Srila Prabhupada himself says in the purport to the next shloka, that I was also such a person. Right from my childhood, because I was born in a family of devotees, I had all the facilities to become a devotee. Like Srila Prabhupada would see his father and his mother offering aarti every day to Lord Krishna. They had deities of Lord Krishna in their homes. And Srila Prabhupada, as a small boy, would see his father and mother offering aarti. And then he told his father, "Father, please give me also a statue of Lord Krishna. I also want to worship Lord Krishna." Right? Because children, they imitate their parents. If the parents are doing something good, the children imitate them. If the parents are doing something bad, the children imitate them. So we as parents have to be role models for our children. we have to set the right example for our children so that they imitate us. If all the activities that we are doing are good activities and the children imitate us, then they also start doing everything as good activities. Right? But nowadays we find the father is smoking, the father is drinking, and then when the son starts smoking or drinking, the father says, no, you're not supposed to do this. Right? So the son, initially he keeps quiet, but later on he asks his father, father, but you're doing this. Why are you doing it? If you can do it, I can also do it. Right? So this is natural. Because the child has the propensity to imitate the parents. So it is the responsibility of every parent to ensure that he gives the best facility to the child to become a devotee of Lord Krishna. And in fact, this is given in the scriptures itself. No person can consider himself to be a parent or a teacher or a spiritual master unless and until he gives facility to his children to go home back to Godhead. A parent who does not give facility to the children to go home back to Godhead is not considered to be a parent. He is no better than an animal. Because an animal cannot give facility to its children to go home back to Godhead. Because the animal knows only one thing, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Right? So the children of the animals also know only that, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. But the child of a human being, a human parent, can get the facility of understanding to go home back to Godhead. This knowledge of going home back to Godhead is available to the child of a parent. If the parent takes the responsibility upon himself to teach the child the science of going home back to Godhead. So that is why every mother and every father should bring the child to the temple of Krishna. Give them darshan of the Lord. Pray to the deities that somehow my child should go home back to Godhead in this lifetime. Because what is the use of getting millions and millions and millions of births in this material world? There is no use. It is futile. What is the use of getting a birth in a situation where that person is going to be suffering? If we as parents do not take the responsibility to liberate our children from the cycle of birth and death, then we are actually being violent on them. We are committing violence in the name of giving them facilities to promote their sense gratification. By thinking, if I am able to give them a nice house, I am able to give them a nice education, I am able to give them nice facilities, I am able to give them nice food, I am doing my responsibility as a parent. No, we are not doing our responsibility as parents. Our responsibility as parents is primarily to give our child Krishna consciousness. That's the first and foremost responsibility. Then all the other responsibilities come about. To give them food, clothing, shelter, education, getting them a good wife, getting them a good job. All these are secondary. The first responsibility of the parents is to give Krishna consciousness to the child. And if you do not do that, then the scriptures tell us that we are not fit to be parents. We are no better than animals. So Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that a person who has performed this pious activity takes birth as a child in a devotee family. And because he takes birth in the devotee family, he has the opportunity to go home back to Godhead. Right? So in Krishna consciousness, everything what we do is permanent. Nothing is temporary. So it's a great benediction. And in this age of Kali Yuga, although it may not be possible for us to do anything which is resulting in a lot of austerities because our bodies are very weak. We are not able to perform austerities. But in this age of Kali Yuga, there is a great benediction. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Kathir Anyata. Just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can achieve perfection. Such an easy process. We don't have to do big, big yagyas. We don't have to construct big, big temples, which are required to be done in the other ages. We don't have to do meditation for several thousands of years. In the Satya Yuga, although the human being lives for 100,000 years, he is expected to do meditation for tens and thousands of years before he can achieve perfection. So this is the rule in Satya Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, where a person lives for 100 years, it's impossible for him to do any meditation. In fact, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that you have to do all these activities, and Arjuna is telling Krishna it's impossible. Controlling the mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. Chanchalami mana Krishna. Because the mind is so flickering. The mind is so agitated. The mind is so much trying to get into sense gratification. All the time the mind is telling you, enjoy this, enjoy that. Do this, do that, it will give you happiness. The mind is telling you constantly. There's a constant battle that is going on between you and your mind. The soul and the mind is constantly in a war situation. And the whole environment is arranged in such a way in order to facilitate sense gratification. You go out in the streets and you see the billboards. You have this particular whiskey and then you feel happy. You smoke this particular cigarette and you feel happy. You wear this particular suit and you'll feel happy. You drive this particular car and you'll feel happy. Right? That's all that the billboards are telling us. Everywhere we go, we are seeing the advertisements telling us, you do this, you'll be happy. You do that, you'll be happy. But this material world, there is no happiness. If you are trying to enjoy your senses, there is no situation where our senses will ever be satisfied. It's impossible. However much we may try to satisfy our senses will always demand more and more and more. So the only way by which we can satisfy the senses is to engage it in Krishna's service. To engage it in the Lord's service. And that we can do in this age of Kali Yuga just by chanting the holy names of the Lord. We can achieve 100% perfection. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So my humble request to all of you is, please come to this temple every day. There is no fee to come to this temple. It's free. Take the darshan of the lordships. Chant the holy names of the Lord. Participate in the kirtans. Eat mahaprasadam. Bring your children over here. And let your children run about. Let them play about. No problem. Because ultimately they are children. They need some engagement. They need some activity. But the fact that they have come to the temple, it means that their spiritual life has begun. Just by taking darshan of the Lord, just by hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, their spiritual life has begun. And Lord Krishna says over here that for such a person, there is never ever a destruction. Right? So bring your children over here, bring your parents, bring your neighbors, bring your friends, your relatives. Bring everybody, tell them about this temple. And let them also get the benefit of going home back to Godhead. Getting out of the cycle of Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Doshanu, Darshanam. This life is a life of misery. We have to be 100% convinced that there can be no happiness in this material world. Because the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is saying this to Arjuna. That this is Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. So Lord tells Arjuna, don't be attached to this material world, because this material world is a place of misery. So if we keep coming to the temple, then we understand this philosophy more and more and more. But just by participating in the satsang programs, hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we can perfect our lives and go home back to Godhead in this lifetime itself, and take along with us everybody, all the people who we consider to be our near and dear ones, our father, our mother, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our friends, relatives, all those whom we consider near and dear. Let us bring them to this temple, connect them to Krishna, so that they can go home back to Godhead. That is the best service that you'll ever do to them in their whole life. There is no better service that you could ever do to any person in your life than to give them Krishna. And this is what Lord Krishna wants. Lord Krishna wants that you should just come before Him, pay your obeisances to Him, and worship Him, and accept Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then He will give you something that you will never ever dream of. He can give you the supreme gift of going home back to Godhead in this lifetime. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So there's no time now. It's time up. So we'll be having darshan in just 2 minutes' time. So I would request all of you to stay back and attend the last kirtan of the day. And if possible, come tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock for the first kirtan of the day, which is at 5 o'clock in the morning. So we have the first kirtan at 5 o'clock and the last kirtan at 10 minutes to 9. So you attend the last kirtan so that when you go home, before you go to sleep, you can remember Krishna. And you attend the first kirtan so that when you get up, you can remember Krishna the first thing in the morning. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.